Today, we continue our study of 1 Thessalonians, a letter of encouragement and love written by the Apostle Paul. The church in Thessalonica was subject to persecution, yet they kept the faith. Paul experienced this persecution firsthand when he founded this church with Silas and Timothy. He writes to the Thessalonians to encourage them to keep the faith despite the hardships they encounter. Yes, Paul and Silas and Timothy were the founders of the church at Thessalonica with the leading of the Holy Spirit. They were a team. With the Holy Spirit's guidance, teamwork makes the dream work. Please bow your hearts in prayer with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the blessings of this life, your unfailing love, your Son, our Savior and Lord, and your Holy Spirit who heals and empowers. Help us to study this passage so that we may be encouraged, keep the faith as the Thessalonians did, and be effective teams following the leading of the Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. And so the passage begins, "Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us." Paul assures the Thessalonians that he did not want to be separated from them. The team's heart remained with the Thessalonians as they worshipped and as they struggled. It was Paul's and the team's intent to return to the Thessalonians to help them, and they tried to return repeatedly. Paul attributes their efforts to return to the Thessalonians being thwarted by Satan, and the hardships that the Thessalonians experienced are also due to Satan. I think sometimes as 21st century Christians, we don't often talk about Satan much. I mean, we have good explanations of why things happen, but there are just times when powers that are against God seem to thwart things. And the opposite is, I know some people who anything is a satanic attack, and that seems to be a bit of an overstatement. But I think it is important for us to be mindful that there are times in the Bible where the leaders will attribute things to Satan, and just to be aware of that. Paul continues, "After all, what gives us hope and joy, and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before our Lord Jesus when he returns? It is you. Yes, you are our pride and joy." So Paul shifts from lamenting about the separation from the Thessalonians to discussion of joy. Now, joy, and I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, but it's worth mentioning again, joy is different from happiness. Happiness is dependent upon circumstances. Things are going well, we're happy. Something good happens, we're happy. But joy is not dependent upon circumstances. It is possible to have joy in the absence of happiness. How do we have joy in the midst of difficult circumstances? Trust in God's presence. As Paul wrote to the Philippians, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember the Lord is near. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." And that's from Philippians 4, verses 4 through 7. And I have to tell you that as I was practicing and proofing this sermon, reading that text over and over again was such a wonderful, blessed comfort and assurance to me. And I hope that is an assurance and comfort for you. And in times when you need, that's a really good verse to go to. Last week, Alex Riley gave us the sermon, and she talked about how Paul described his relationship with the Thessalonians like a loving parent. And so, like parents, the founding team take pride in the Thessalonian church. Paul believes the Thessalonian church and the founding team will be reunited when Jesus returns and they stand before Jesus. So he trusts that if he can't get there, that when Jesus returns, he will be with them and they will be all together. Now I have to pause and say that Paul writes this really loving, encouraging letter to the Thessalonians, and don't think that Paul is this wonderful people pleaser who just throws out these words of encouragement. Nah, you should read Galatians and Corinthians for commentary on how Paul can really talk to a church in a very strong way and give really strong feedback. But this church, he believes, needs the building up, and he encourages them with love. So it's not just a sort of a people-pleasing thing. And I think as you read Paul, you know that nobody has ever accused Paul of people-pleasing. So he continues, "Finally, when we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ." Paul and Silas sent Timothy, the youngest member of the team who Paul has been mentoring. Timothy is a brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. Dear friends, we are also God's co-workers. I mean, I love thinking about that. God's co-workers. That's amazing. That's a really wonderful honor and privilege and responsibility. Jesus assured the disciples that they are his friends in John chapter 15, verses 14 to 15. He said to the disciples, "You are my friends if you do what I command. I am no longer calling you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you." We are friends and co-workers of God in proclaiming the good news about Christ. We have this blessing and we have this responsibility. Of course, God is in charge. And with God as our co-worker and in charge, we are part of an amazing team. Trust. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. In the near future, our team will include our new senior pastor, whom we have discerned as being called by God to serve at Hope. We will follow him as he follows the leading of the Holy Spirit. There is much wisdom and spiritual maturity here at Hope to be shared with our new senior pastor. And so I think we'll continue to see what John Maxwell, who is not only a leadership expert, but a pastor himself, we will see teamwork makes the dream work. So Paul continues, "We sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through." Timothy is sent to strengthen and encourage the Thessalonians. Last week, Christianity Today published an online article by Cutter Calloway, who is a Fuller Associate Professor, and it's regarding the passing of the leadership baton in church from one generation to the next. Cutter Calloway indicates passing the baton from one generation to the next is a theme in current popular movies, including Toy Story 4. Now, I won't say any spoilers, but you might want to see it. You might want to think about how it applies to us. In order to pass the baton well from one generation to the next, mentoring should occur. As I mentioned earlier, Paul mentored Timothy. We are blessed with an extraordinary youth group, and we were just reminded of that a few moments ago from their camp experiences. How are we mentoring them to become leaders of the church? Now, remember, they are our future, and we talk about, oh yeah, the youth is our future. They are also our present. They are confirmed. They participate in Bible studies. They go to camp, and they receive the word, and they grow, and they're shaped, and they're transformed. And they share their gifts with the church today. I mean, you see them doing all sorts of different roles here at the church. They're our now. They're not some, future, someday they'll be in charge. No, They're here now. So what are we doing to mentor them? I'd like to suggest that we have at least one person pray regularly for one of our youth. I'd like you to please prayerfully consider for whom you are meant to pray this week. And then next week, tell Erica Duane, who stood up and spoke in the announcements and then read both the psalm responsively and the passage we're studying. Tell Erica who you believe God is calling you to pray for. And we want to make sure by doing that that at least one person is praying for at least one member of the youth. He goes on. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. Even while we were with you, we were warned that troubles would soon come. And they did, as you well know. Paul reminds the Thessalonians that they were warned of hardships that would occur as they choose to accept Jesus as the Son of God and their Lord and Savior. That is why when I could bear it no longer, he says, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. Knowing that the Thessalonians would encounter hardship and persecution due to their faith, Paul sent Timothy to assess their continued faith. He was concerned that Satan would tempt them to return to their former lifestyles and beliefs. Persecution can cause people to abandon their faith in God. Jesus said that when he talked about the sower with the four seeds, and one of the seeds didn't get enough root, and that was an example of people who, when the first rounds of persecution came, fell by the wayside. So they're very aware that persecution can cause people to abandon their faith. And the team had to personally leave the Thessalonians abruptly due to the hardships they experienced. If the Thessalonians abandoned their faith in God, the work of the team would have been useless. But Paul continues. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. Timothy returns to Paul and Silas in Athens with encouraging news about the faith and love of the Thessalonians. Timothy also reports that the Thessalonians remember the ministry's team visit with joy and longing to see them return to Thessalonica. Timothy is faithful in serving God at the church in Thessalonica without Paul and Silas. Paul's trust in Timothy's leadership and commitment is well placed. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our struggles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you remain strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. In the midst of the team's struggles and suffering, they are encouraged by the Thessalonians remaining strong in their faith. The work of the team has not been in vain. By indicating that their faith gives the team new life, Paul is encouraging the Thessalonians to continue to stand firm in the Lord. His encouragement here is relying upon the relationship between the Thessalonian church and the team. He's acknowledging that and saying, hey, we're in this together and you bring us new life by your faith. We also bring encouragement as we stand strong to others. And it's important for us to remember that our standing strong is part of our relationship with God and ourselves, but also with others, that we are meant to be a light, an encouragement, a witness. Paul goes on, how we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Paul and the team repeatedly thank God for the Thessalonian church. Dear friends, I thank God for you. I am so thankful for each of you and for hope as a wonderful faith community. And Paul again assures the Thessalonians of the great joy that the team has as they enter God's presence through prayer. Let us be thankful in our prayers for hope and tell God that we are thankful. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. May God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. So the team prays earnestly for the Thessalonians and to return to Thessalonica to continue to minister to them. While the letter repeatedly praises the Thessalonians, such as in chapter 1, verse 3, as we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus. But there are gaps in their faith. Of course, there are gaps in our faith too. We are justified by the blood of Christ, and we are being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. We are saved, justified, and we are works in progress as our sanctification continues. As part of our sanctification process, it's important that we continue to study the Word of God with the help of the Holy Spirit, pray, gather together as the faith community, and act as prompted by the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. This is an amazing blessing. I mean, I read this and thought, wow, this is so cool, this blessing given to the Thessalonians, that God makes their love for each other and for all people grow and overflow. So let's embrace that blessing for us. May our love for each other and for all people grow and overflow. Evangelism is more effective when offered in love. Love for our neighbors. Love for the other. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God, our Father, when the Lord Jesus comes again with his holy people. Amen. Like the Thessalonians, may our God make our heart strong, blameless, and holy as we stand before God. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We thank you for calling us together to be your team, your co-workers. Help us to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, and help us to overflow with love as we seek to serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.